Hello, and welcome to the Orange Chair Podcast. Today in the Orange Chair, we have Jim Hall, who will be diving into some artificial intelligence technologies and explaining to us how they are useful. We'll be talking about RPA, case management and workflow, and we will even learn a little bit about OCR and capture technology. So I'm your host, Alex Frazier, and I'm excited for us to get into this podcast. Hello, and welcome to the official first episode of the Orange Chair Podcast. We are so excited about this episode. We have a very special guest with me today, Jim Hall. I'm going to let you just kind of introduce yourself a little bit to our listeners.
Sure, glad to be here. Jim Hall, again, I've been at Keymark for getting close to 8 years now in January. Started in right after I graduated from Clemson. Started in our support team, moved over to PS team, and now I'm the manager of one of our PS teams, mainly doing smaller projects. A few people under me here, and focus mostly on on-base projects, forms of motion, custom development, things like that.
Awesome. Well, great. We're so excited to have you in today.
Glad to be here.
Well, so this podcast is going to be a little bit dedicated to a couple of different technology offerings, and we're just going to kind of get an overview of a few things, learn from an expert here. Cool. Okay, so first I want to talk about, well, here, let me go back and I'll say what we're going to talk about. All right. We're going to talk about RPA, we'll talk about case management and workflow, and we're going to talk about OCR and capture technology.
Okay.
Great. So can you go ahead and start by telling us, you know, very high level, what is RPA? What does that mean?
RPA, robotic process automation. That's all you wanted to know, right? What those letters stand for?
Yeah, give me a little more detail.
All right. So essentially, it is a bot, a computer, piece of computer software that simulates a human being doing work. There's other capabilities as well. It can go beyond a human, like hooking into integration points that a human may not necessarily have access to. But the gist of it is something you wouldn't normally write code or use like on-base workflow for, but literally a human sitting at a computer, moving the mouse, typing on the keyboard, it can recreate that. So generally just taking human work and having the computer do it.
Yeah. Cool, okay. So how would, you know, someone utilize a robot, like how would they use that?
Really any tedious, repeatable process that to this day still requires a human. If it's something that requires a lot of human decision-making, like, you know, talking with people, using best judgment, things like that, then that's not really a great place to use this. But if there's just a set of standard actions they take, rules that they follow, basically something that you could write out a description of that job, that's something they could do. Examples would be pulling billing information from various hospitals, going to different websites and pulling that information. Internally, you know, we're looking at using it for pulling timesheet data that we've entered out of OnBase and going in and what is currently a manual task to enter that data into Epicor, having it pull that data out, make the decisions, go into Epicor, enter that time in, generate invoices.
Gotcha.
And taking the human factor out of that.
Cool. Cool. Okay. So, you know, apart from those different examples, what are like prime scenarios where an RPA solution would be a good fit?
If, again, just something that is repeatable, you know, on a daily basis, something that someone is doing over and over again with a clear set of steps that they're doing that, again, you know, doesn't require like research at certain steps that are human to come in and actually intervene and use our intuition to get in there and make decisions, but just, you know, go here, click this, pull this file down, read this file, write it here.
Gotcha.
Anything like that, that's a good place where, you know, even if we're not saving time necessarily, like if it's not a faster way of doing the process, it's still taking the human factor out of it. It's just freeing up a space, basically. And it can do, you know, it's working 24/7, 365 days a year. It doesn't get sick. It doesn't need to, you know, travel or go visit his family. It's just doing that job. So it's generally a better option there.
Yeah. So is it better in terms of, you know, eliminating a human error?
That too. Yeah. If there's, you know, especially if someone's freehand typing something in or clicking around, yeah, it avoids that error because we can include exception handling as well. So if it does run into a mistake or something that it can't handle, mm-hmm. you know, we can build it in that a human could get involved at that point and handle that because things change.
Right.
If you're involving any kind of software that you don't have control over that the bot's interacting with, mm-hmm. it could change at any point. So, yeah.
Cool.
A human could adjust for that. That's where a human could get involved. But as long as we handle that from the bot side, a human could get involved, update the bot, and then continue on its merry way.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay. Well, great. Thank you for that information on robots. Okay, so I want to learn a little bit more about, case management, workflow. Can you tell us a little bit, just an overview of what those two terms mean?
Yeah, so case management, and I know that's become popular over the past few years. Mm-hmm. It's just a way of managing data, cases, processing work that's not necessarily documents. We, for years, focused on documents, files moving through a process, moving invoices, moving contracts from one area to the other, but this is just data. Examples like vendor data, help desk tickets, budget requests, back to contracts, but a vendor relationship, contract stuff, there's not necessarily a document tied to that, but the data needs to be reviewed, approved, maintain employee records. That would be a case management. An employee could be your case in that situation.
Okay. So how are case management and workflow, how do those two work together?
So I guess I skipped past workflow. Workflow, with documents or with case management, is just a way of setting up routing rules, background processing, data lookups, sending out notifications. Similar to what we said, the RPA, kind of human actions now, but mm-hmm. this isn't a bot. It's just a background process that's managing a business process from step to step. It does some of that flow, assigning work to people, routing work to people, sending work to someone to be approved in the background. It can do some of that without human interaction. It can be a way to have steps between human interaction. Mm-hmm. But just the electronic means for events to happen on a document or a case.
Okay.
So they interact. Case management can stand alone. An example here that we do, we have employees and we have projects in our case management solution. And that just kind of exists on its own. There's not a workflow happening. There's no, I create Alex in our WorkView solution. So that needs to go to several people to be approved. It just sits there. It's just data.
Gotcha.
But workflow really expands the capabilities of what you can do there. So if you're working a case, maybe it's a contract you have or a vendor that's coming up for renewal, you can have workflow, when a date's coming up. I'll stick with a contract with a vendor. Maybe it's coming up for renewal. That could be sitting in a workflow, get triggered when that date comes up. Email Alex, hey Alex, you need to review this contract, see if you want to renew it. You can get in, have some tasks that are assigned to that workflow, use those to say, yeah, I'm good, but this needs to go to Greg for approval. This needs to go to Jim for approval. Mm-hmm. So it can route that case. And again, there's not a document. It's just, in your case, it would just be a form you're looking at with data. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the same exact thing you would do with a document. You're just passing that data around. There can be lookups happening on the background, so maybe you have one piece of data you need to look up related data. Internal, again, we have timesheets. An example of workflow would be we enter time for a project. That time entry is a case item at that point, a case management object. It goes in a workflow, it finds the project, it assigns it to that project in the case management, and very simple, but deducts the total remaining hours for that project based on what's there.
Yeah.
That's, you wouldn't be able to do that with just a database sitting there by itself. So again, the workflow doesn't necessarily need to be like a full implementation as well, like life cycles and queues and it moving through a stage process. It can be just simple changes like I click approve, the status changes to approve, it ends up in someone else's filter so they can go view that. But that's, you know, in the on-base world, that's not using the workflow product, but that is still workflow. That is still, you know, something moving through stages in a process.
So with case management, I know you mentioned there you can use that with data. Can you also use that with documents, or is it strictly data?
Yeah, there's almost always documents involved mm-hmm. in some way there. You know, there's cases where there's not, but documents can be attached to cases. Mm-hmm. A lot of times documents start the case, a document comes in, mm-hmm. we get some of that data, we create a case, however that might be. I'll go back to our internal example of we manage our projects in WorkView, which is the case management software. You know, we get a contract in, or statement of work, or quote. Mm-hmm. We enter some data into a form, that all goes into the system and then creates a project in Case Manager. So it's now a case, but we have all that supporting documentation assigned to it. So you can go in one place, pull up all the data for the project, see who's assigned to it, look at mm-hmm. the time that's been entered against it, and also look at status reports that have been generated, look at the contract that yeah. created it. You can go to the customer and find our MSA with them.
Mm-hmm. So with those, you know, I know we mentioned mm-hmm. with workflow and having like approval status and approval routing,
right.
would all of that be also shown up in the case with the case management? When you pull up a document, maybe something has been routed to someone else for an approval. Would all of that be noted so you could see all of that?
It can be. Yeah, it depends on how you set it up. I mean, generally there's history that you would want to track regardless, so you could find that eventually, but we definitely want to keep track of, you know, make sure that data is available to whoever needs to see it. So keeping a record on the case of what's happened to it, when things were changed, when things were approved, who mm-hmm. viewed it, when documents were added to that case. Those are all things that, you know, maybe not natively what mm-hmm. you would want to see, but in general, when you're designing a case management solution, you would want to have some log of events that have happened to it.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Okay. So is case management the same as document management, or are those two separate components?
They are separate components. And again, they can work together, but you know, you can have document management completely standalone, and mm-hmm. that's kind of where we started, right?
Right.
It's just a repository that people are uploading their documents to or scanning documents into and retrieving them, looking at them. You can have document management and workflow and not have case management. And case management can stand on its own. You could have data that's just out there. There's no documents. You know, potentially you could have a on-base solution that doesn't have a single document in it. I don't know anyone that does, but that's a possibility.
Okay. That'd be a rare find.
Yeah. You could have a, you know, if you had a support case, you know, support ticket system in there. Maybe mm-hmm. you don't ever get documents from them, but that's the only thing you're using on base for. That's a weird use, but yeah, you could have just working tickets through WorkView and never have a document added to the system.
Okay.
I wouldn't recommend it, but.
Okay, so how would case management benefit an organization? Like, let's say they don't have document management or workflow. Mm-hmm. How would just case management benefit a company?
It's an example we heard recently, actually, and obviously document management's involved because it's contracts, but mm-hmm. we take document management out of this. But there's various groups at this company that all are trying to do the same job, basically work with vendors.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't know if, you know, HR has a relationship with a vendor, but finance is trying to look for a vendor for the same service. Mm-hmm. They have no way of looking to see, does our company have a relationship with a vendor? They're going to go through the same, all right, we need to find a vendor for this. We've got to reach out and mm-hmm. vet all these clients and go through
many
and get
steps.
Stuff. And instead they could go in one place and, you know, I need a vendor for catering.
Mm-hmm.
No, we've worked with this company. You know, here's a bunch of contracts with them. We have a rating system. People have reported issues with them. People have, you know, said they haven't had any problems with this vendor. Let's go with them. It's information that is just making information available. I mean, that's, if you don't have anything else happening, that's its biggest use, is information that everyone could access and get to.
Okay, so what are, you know, a few scenarios, like specific examples of some case management and even including document management that you see a benefit from.
All right. It's so broad what we've done. I'll start with our situation that we use internally, which is our time entry for projects. Mm-hmm. I talk about it because I built it, mm-hmm. so you know it's good.
Shameless plug.
We used a time entry software to track our time, but we had, you know, it had its limitations. It didn't do exactly what we wanted. Maybe it could, but we didn't have any expertise in it. So we took what we wanted and built a case management solution around it. So as new projects come in, we have project data just available for everyone. We have customer records that all the projects are attached to. You could look at a customer, see all their projects, see what state they're in, see who's working on those projects. At each project level, you can see the time that's been entered against it, who entered that time, when it was entered, if it was edited, what they were working on for that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we have a front end that we built that ties into it. So, you know, we have people in turn, our entire PS team, our support team gets in, and that's how they log their time. It all goes into OnBase in the end. And in this case as well, like I mentioned, we have our documents that are tied to the projects mm-hmm. that are all in one place. So it's a centralized repository. But at this point, it became way easier for us to write reports off that data. If there was something that we didn't like how it was doing, mm-hmm. go in and change it. That's simple enough there. For other examples, contract management is one that I mentioned a few times, and that's mm-hmm. a pretty common one. It's one thing to just have the contract come in, and that's always been a thing. You know, a contract comes into someone's system, they just need a way to track where it's at in the process. You can do that with just document management and workflow. Your reporting capabilities are limited there, though, and just when you add contract management in, you get the kind of relational database structure around the reporting and just the overall view of the contract. So in this case, if Keymark's in your system, you have contracts with Keymark. Mm-hmm. You could go into a case management system, look at your vendors, look at Keymark. Here's all the contracts I have with Keymark in one place. Drill in deeper, look at all the metadata for that contract, pull a report for those contracts, see which contracts are up for renewal. You have a filter that's got contracts that need to be renewed within 30 days, contracts that need to be renewed within 60 days, contracts that are looking for approval by finance. Mm-hmm. You never have to look at a document for all of that. And it's just adding a new way to look at the data. You can capture more data than you would get on a document. Data that you wouldn't necessarily want to store as a keyword on a document, which is generally just used for retrieval purposes.
Okay.
This is being able to really use the data around those contracts, around those vendors, around anything you need and report and think about what is important to you to report on and include that.
Awesome. Okay. So lastly, I just kind of want to hear your thoughts. I want to learn a little bit about capture technology.
Okay.
You know, what is capture technology?
Anything to get documents and data into a repository.
So this is like the first hand step before you would get into that case management piece.
Right. And generally we think, you know, scanning in documents, that's, you know, the most mm-hmm. common. Anything that's bringing in that data into your repository. Generally scanners could be software as well that's sweeping mm-hmm. in documents that are sitting out on a...
So what's an example of like some software that's being captured or data from software that's being captured?
If we're in the world of OnBase here, DIP is a good example. There's just files sitting out in a directory somewhere on a network share with some index information. It's going to go out and pull that, bring it all into your repository and index it without human intervention. Scanning, obviously, humans sitting there scanning things into paper and indexing, mm-hmm. that's a pretty common one. That's probably the first thing that comes to mind.
Okay. So what does OCR stand for?
Optical character recognition.
Okay.
I definitely didn't have to look that up to make sure, but yes.
Okay, so how is OCR used when you're scanning in documents?
So OCR, in layman's terms, is just reading text off an image. That's pretty useful. It mm-hmm. gets rid of humans, gets rid of, we are bad at things a lot of times. But, you know, reading data off of an invoice that has account number on it, reading a check and pulling check data off of that, and indexing documents with that, and a human doesn't have to sit there and do that work. It's going to mm-hmm. be generally more accurate than if a human did that work. It's, you know, if I sat there and indexed 100 documents, 4 of those are going to be wrong, most right. likely. Probably more, but I'll give myself the benefit of the doubt. So yeah, that's the main thing. It's faster than having a human doing it. It's more accurate, and mm-hmm. also not a human doesn't have to sit there and go crazy just indexing paperwork when there's something that we can just read itself.
Right. So, okay, so you mentioned scanning in, like, checks. Mm-hmm. What if you're scanning in, like, a couple of checks and an invoice and, I don't know, another document that looks different than yeah. an invoice? Like, how or can the technology capture the necessary and important data from all those different types of documents?
Yeah, as long as there's some level of consistency to your documents, and it doesn't need to be exactly the same. So, you know, checks aren't a good example because they're fairly consistent at all times.
What about like invoices? Those important characters are maybe in different places because you're getting different invoices.
Right, and so that's a good one. There's ways to configure it that it's not necessarily looking for a specific spot on the document. I mean, that's easy. That is the dream. If you get a piece of paper that looks exactly the same every time and it's going to have the information in the same spot, great, mm-hmm. perfect. It's going to be fast. We can do that. But you can set it up to look for, you know, tags if you are always looking for PO number and mm-hmm. then what comes after it. That would be a way to find that information, invoice number, name, social security number, things that you know would be on the document, you just don't mm-hmm. know where
okay.
to signify where it's going to be. And also regular expressions. If you're looking for a date, you don't necessarily know where it's going to be. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's part of one field, and they're going to put a date in there somewhere, but you don't know where they're going to put it.
Mm-hmm.
You can write a regular expression that will look for that format and find that field and pull that data out. So there's definitely ways around it. Obviously, the more consistency you can get, the better.
Mm-hmm.
We can't just pull with absolutely no indicator of where that data is going to be or what's there. But yeah, there's definitely a lot of logic you can include to help out that.
Once the data is captured, mm-hmm. then, you know, how does the technology, you know, further automate that business process? Where does it go from there?
Yeah. So simplest example would just be if you just have a system that's just scan, store, retrieve. All you're doing is just storing documents to retrieve them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, benefit one is that more accurate indexing. If you need to find an invoice, if you need to find a resume, you know, whatever you're looking for, you know what keyword data to look for when you're trying to retrieve it. You know it's going to be accurate. You know it's there, and a human didn't have to get in the way of doing that. That's an easy benefit.
Okay.
That same data can be used in a workflow process to drive workflow, and that's, again, mostly just indexing, but case management as well. You know, we get contracts in internally. If we had, well, actually, an example we did recently, I'll start on that. We have status reports for projects that our project manager or engagement managers create. Just project name on there, the date range you're talking about, and then just updates on the project. Well, we want to be able to find those. And, you know, if we're on a project, we want to see how things are going, what's the status, what's been accomplished. Well, they don't always do it the same way. They have a template that they're entering the data in, but mm-hmm. project name, they might do the customer name and then the project name and then a kind of description. They might do just the project name. They might do a description and then the project name.
Mm-hmm.
the from and to date fields, they might use dashes in their dates, they might use slashes in their dates, they might put a space between them, they may put a dash between them to let you know. So in this case, we have a general idea of where the data might be, but we don't know what format, and we don't know where in the string that we need to pull that data. So we have capture that will look in the project name. We have a format for our project name, so we look for that format, pull that data out. It then comes into the system, goes into workflow, finds the related project in our case management solution, and just attaches it there. So at this point, you can go to that project in the case management solution and see that status report almost instantaneously.
Wow. Okay. Okay, so how does technology handle the handwritten data?
Maybe slightly worse than a human in that case. It definitely depends on the handwritten data. I can't read a lot of people's handwriting either, but yeah, it needs to be legible to be read, and it's gotten a lot better.
So is that a case where you can set up maybe an alert of, like, if you're scanning documents and then it comes across a field with handwritten data, it'll just say...
There's a generally a confidence level that you can set where when it's reading a field, it... I don't know all the technology behind how it determines how confident it is, but if it goes beyond that confidence level, it will, you know, flag it as, you know, we couldn't pull this field. We don't know what this is saying. We're not sure. And on base it would go, you know, maybe you don't ever want to look at it, but in this case it goes to a queue that says this needs to be indexed, this needs to be manually reviewed. And that's pretty common. And even, you know, non-handwritten text, sometimes something printed weird or got fudged a little bit, or, you know, the spacing between characters came out wrong, so it you know, it'll say, or maybe the format of the form got tilted and it couldn't quite find it, it's not quite sure if that's where it needs to be looking or that's the data to pull, and the same thing would happen, just surpasses that confidence level, it's not sure what it's saying, and so a human would need to get involved at that point.
Gotcha. Okay, so I have one last question. So can you give us maybe two examples of where capture technology can be implemented within an organization? Like, what are the two most common places where you would find capture technology?
You know, AP, accounts payable, just scanning in invoices, checks. That's people like to get paid, and that's there's a lot of paperwork there. And I'd say insurance is probably a big one, too. There's a lot of paperwork that happens there, a lot of different form documents, and government work as well. There's a lot of just standard forms that get sent out that can be scanned in, OCR'd, pull the data that you need off of it. And those are simple examples that, you know, government's slow to move on a lot of things, so there's still a lot of paper there. But getting them in digitally is an easy thing, a big win.
Yeah, so getting them in digitally will greatly benefit.
Right. If, you know, if you, I guess, insurance, if you have a claim and then you need to call and have a question on it, they can just key in your account number and find every piece of paperwork there is on you. Rather than, well, hold on, let me go back in this file room and dig around and hopefully we didn't lose it. And, oh, the fire alarm went off and the sprinklers turned on and we lost all your paperwork. But, yeah, there's... a lot of benefits of having it digitally, and yeah, it's definitely the, at the very least, if we have to have paper, let's scan it in somewhere, let's get it in somewhere digitally, and have a backup of that.
Awesome. Well, Jim, this has been very insightful. Thank you so much for coming in and teaching us a little bit about what these different technologies are. I think it's really interesting to see how all of these pieces work together. And how we can just greatly streamline some of that data and those documents.
Glad I could help.
Well, that's all that we have for you guys today. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. The Orange Tier Podcast is brought to you by Keymark. If you liked this podcast, please leave us a rating, like, and subscribe to our podcast channels wherever you guys are listening to podcasts. And you can even follow us on Instagram and Facebook, and we'd love to hear from you. This podcast is produced by Greg Aiken, Clay Tootin, and me, your host, Alex Frazier. Until next time, bye guys.